Well, if you please turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. We were in the Gospel of Matthew last time. We looked last time at Matthew 7 and verses 13 and 14, but today we're in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And I want to read from verse 24 through to chapter 17 and the verse 10. Matthew 16, from verse 24 through to chapter 17 and the verse 10. Come, let us hear the word of God. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death, till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. After 6 days Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, or Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, or Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, be not afraid. And when they had lifted their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Amen. So reads God's holy word. And let's take a moment in prayer before we come to this word this evening. Let's ask for the Lord's help. Last time, if you were here, you remember in Matthew chapter 7, I spoke on enter in by the narrow gate. Do you remember in Matthew 7 there was a narrow gate? And a narrow gate entered into a narrow way. So the narrow gate went into the narrow way which leads to eternal life. And then Jesus said, there is a broad gate, a wide gate that leads to a broad way, a broad road, and that leads to everlasting destruction. It leads to the place of hell. One leads to heaven, one leads to hell. The narrow gate, and few go through that narrow gate into the narrow way, leads to heaven. There are not many people that are on the way to heaven. It is a fact. The Lord Jesus Christ said not many enter in that way. But most people enter into the broad gate and into the broad way that leads to destruction. But Jesus said, strive, agonize, do all that you can. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go therein, because straight or narrow is the gate, or difficult is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and there be few that find it. So last time we talked about the gate and the narrow way, the narrow gate and the narrow way. Now again, if you look at these verses here in Matthew chapter 16, what we find is that the Lord Jesus Christ, he speaks here in terms of you've got to deny yourself. You've got to deny your life. If you're going to save your life, if you're going to go in the way of heaven, If you are going to ever get to heaven, you've got to deny yourself. When we speak about the kingdom of heaven, firstly, he says you've got to enter in by a narrow gate, but it also means denying yourself. And I began to touch on that last time. What does it mean to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember last time as I spoke about the gate, that narrow gate that leads to everlasting life, I explained to you that that gate was a picture of Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ said, I am the door. If any man enter in by me, he shall be saved. So eternal life begins by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, by coming, by entering in through him. Now he says something else here. If we are going to save our life, if we are going to have eternal life, if we are going to follow Jesus Christ, look at verse 24 with me there in Matthew 16. Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, that is simply put, if anybody's going to follow me, if you're going to be a Christian, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I want you to notice there, he says, if any man. In other words, any person. There's no exception. This doesn't just apply for some people, but it's true for anybody that wants to follow the Lord Jesus. No exceptions. You must deny yourself. So every person that desires to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, he must deny himself. Now, let us consider tonight, what I want us to do firstly, is to consider what it takes to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to become a Christian? What does it mean to follow him? If any man follow me, let him deny himself. Well, firstly, let me say this. It takes the work of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. But it firstly takes the new birth. If you turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 6, I trust you all know where that is, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the fourth Gospel, John chapter 6 and verse 44. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ here. Very simple, very plain. He said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, salvation, firstly, is a work of what we call God's grace. God draws you to himself. And when he does that, there is the new birth. You're born again. Jesus said to the man Nicodemus, nobody can see the kingdom of God. Nobody can enter into the kingdom of God unless he is born again. John chapter 3. He said, verily I say unto you, you must be born again. How is it somebody is born again? Well, we are born again by the Spirit of God. When we hear God's word preached, God begins to work in our hearts. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Now, firstly, it takes the work of grace. You see in that verse there, John 6:44, Jesus says nobody, absolutely nobody, can ever come to me unless God does something. And this describes the condition of our hearts are so hard by nature. And I know this. I know I was just sharing my testimony a little while ago with one of you young people, how for many years my heart was so hard against God and against the gospel. I didn't want to know. But there was a time when I was invited along to church and my heart, I can't explain it, began to be softened. I was convicted of my sin. I knew that I was a sinner. God was convicting me of my sin and showed me my need of Jesus Christ. But when that happens, when the new birth happens, we repent. Jesus Christ said, unless ye repent, that is, confess your sins and turn from them, ye shall all likewise perish. But here, look, the Lord Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. If you truly are a Christian, if God has truly begun to work in your heart, God says you must deny yourself. And he says here, and take up his cross. Do you see those words there? Let a man deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, does the Lord Jesus Christ really mean that you and I have to go and make a literal wooden cross, that we have to find a literal wooden cross and carry it in order to go to heaven, or that we've got to die on a cross. No, that's not what he means at all. Back in these days, the cross was a familiar sign of dying. What the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, that we've got to lose our old life, because this is what he goes on to say. We've got to die to the old, and this is part of what the new birth brings. When we become a Christian, we turn from an old way of life and we begin to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We, as Paul says, die to self and we live to Jesus Christ. So what does he mean here? Well, he means denying yourself. Now, does that mean that as a Christian, you're never going to have fun? Does that mean as a Christian, everything's going to be morbid and miserable? No, it doesn't mean that. In fact, the Christian life, I say this to you, is the most happy and blessed life. There could be no greater joy than following the Lord Jesus Christ. But it does require that we die to self. And the reason is, if we don't die to self, look at verse 25. For whosoever will save his life will lose it. So you've got to lose your life. In denying yourself, you lose your life. You say, I'm not going to go in my way anymore. I'm going to go in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Find what? You shall find life, in fact, eternal life. If you deny yourself in this life, your sin, and that's really what he means, denying sin, you will be saved. Now, we're not saved by that, but that is a mark of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. We're not saved by our works or by doing things. But truly, if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we are denying self. And when we have eternal life, it is eternal life. It's everlasting life. The second thing, what does it take to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Firstly, it requires the new birth. Secondly, it requires faith. Now, the Bible tells me that faith is a gift. Let me show you in the Bible. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, we read these words, the Apostle Paul, and he tells us how we are saved. If we are Christians and if we have been born again, he tells us how we have been saved. And it's not by ourselves. It's by a gift that God gives us. With the new birth, with grace, comes faith. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So in other words, where do I get faith from? It says to me, the Bible tells me there that faith is a gift. I am saved by grace through faith. God has mercy on me, and he gives me the gift of faith. Now, this is an important connection that I want us to notice in the Bible. So if you turn with me, I know there's a lot of Bible searching tonight, but it's really important. If you turn with me to the book of Romans, it's after Acts. Acts is the first letter or account after the gospel. So you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then you've got Romans. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Now, I want you to notice how faith comes, okay? So then, it says in the middle of the verse, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing the word of God. So there you have it. How did I get my faith? How did I become a Christian? Well, firstly, God had grace on me. He converted my heart. He changed my heart. And then he gave me this wonderful gift of faith, that faith comes by hearing. Now, you lot are very, very privileged. I hope you realize that. Tremendously privileged, because not many people get to hear the gospel. I'm so thankful that you're here, because the Bible tells us we get faith as a gift, and it's by hearing the word of God. So it's such a privilege. I hope you realize what a privilege it is to come and to hear the word of God, that you may have faith. Now, Jesus said, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. It's not enough just to hear, but we've got to respond to what we hear. Now, what I want to do tonight is to show you from these verses here, three motives to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Three motives. We read the account going into chapter 17, where the Lord Jesus Christ took his disciples on the high mountain. Do you remember reading that just a moment ago? He took them there on the high mountain, and he showed them his glory. That was amazing. Peter, James, and John. The Lord Jesus Christ was transfigured before them all. They saw the Lord of glory. Not only that, but they saw Elijah and Moses. These men that have died and their spirits have gone to heaven. And now they are made perfect like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is true and going to be true of anybody that follows the Lord Jesus Christ, anybody that's saved, as Peter, James, and John saw them. What an amazing thing. Well, that will be true of us. God made this world a perfect world, but sin came in. But the way in which God saves us is through Jesus Christ dying for our sins, taking our place on the cross. And he gives as a gift to all that come to him all of the righteous life, all of the good things that Jesus Christ ever did, to all that come to him. I can't think of anything more wonderful. All of his righteousness given to me. Now, I'm going to give you, as I've said, three motives to follow Jesus Christ. The first is, he is worthy to be followed because he is God. He said this in Matthew 10, "And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Is the Lord Jesus ever saying that we are not to love other people? No, he's not saying that. But he is saying, as God, I demand supreme love. And that's what we have failed to do all of our lives, haven't we? We've come into this world, and for much of our lives, and I'm the first one to put my hand up, and I'm sure others would be too, to say that there were many years of my life living on this planet as if God didn't exist. I did not care about God. I just wanted to live my own life, breathing his air that he gives, living on this planet as if God didn't exist. Well, we've got to love God supremely. If we don't love the Lord Jesus, we don't love God. He is God. Jesus again in Matthew 13, verse 45 said, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is the pearl of greatest price. If we do not value the Lord Jesus Christ and following him as the most important thing in our lives, we're not worthy of him. Because God the Son created all of us, and yet you know what he did? He went on the cross and died. That is amazing that the Creator should die for creatures. Could you imagine that? The one who made us. The Bible says all things were made by him and for him. And that very same person died on the cross. So he's worthy to be followed, and we can trust him. I would trust a man who would die for me. No man has died for me except the Lord Jesus. The second reason, the second motive for following the Lord Jesus is the loss of your soul for all eternity. Look at the verse with me, verse 26. Jesus asks a question that should make us all think very seriously right now tonight. Look what he says. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" In other words, what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying is if you were to gain everything in this whole world, if you could ever gain everything in this whole world, and how long you're going to live here on this earth? Well, some of you are late teens, some are early teens. If you, say, live for another 70, 80 years, it's not very long at all. And if you got everything in the world, and if you fulfilled all your desires and just lived without any thought about sin and repentance, God and care for him, and is sin worth losing your soul that lives on for eternity? Is just a few years here on this earth worth more than eternity? It's not, is it? Because how long is eternity for? Forever. Eternity never ends. Imagine one of those old-fashioned scales, those balances. If you were to put all the wealth, if you were to gain the whole world, put the whole world there, and then put your soul in the other balance, your soul outweighs the whole world, because this world is passing away and the lusts of it. So it's not worth it. I was just looking, wanted to get some figures. Bill Gates is still the wealthiest man in the world, with something like $72 billion. The next is Vladimir Putin, president of Russia. But these men could die tomorrow. Bill Gates, he's 56 years old. Vladimir Putin, he's not that old. But what if he was to die tomorrow? Where does all of his wealth go? It goes to somebody else, right? You can't keep it. You can't take it with you. What about their souls? Not a thought for God. Let me read some words to you from 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. Have you ever seen somebody dying and holding on to their money? No, you haven't, because they can't hold on to their money. You can't take it with you into another world. Paul says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment or clothing, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, young people, please don't misunderstand me. I have nothing against money. We need money, don't we? We need money to live. But it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. We've got to love God more than money. We've got to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to put away these things, because money is the path, or the love of money is the path to sin. It's amazing what some people do for money. Some people sell their children for money. Some people sell their bodies for money. It's quite sick, isn't it, when we think what a craving the human heart has for money. So there, the value of your soul is more important than the world. Firstly, Jesus is worthy to be followed. Secondly, the value of your soul. Thirdly, the third motive for following Jesus Christ is that we will not face judgment, the judgment of God, and everlasting separation from him. Look at the rest of the verse. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. You see, there is going to be a judgment. There's going to be a day when you are going to have to give an account of the way that you lived your life. Like I'm going to have to give an account for the way that I've lived my life. In John 5, verse 26, the Lord Jesus Christ said this, as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Do you hear what Jesus said? There's coming a day. If Jesus Christ created this world, it's not a problem for him to call to life and to raise everybody that's ever died. It's not a problem. If God spoke the worlds into being in a moment, he can raise us in a moment. Jesus said, do not marvel. The hour is coming when everybody in the graves will come out of the graves. He said, when I come, I will resurrect all men. And at that resurrection, there will be a judgment. Some will go to everlasting punishment, and some will have eternal life. Well, Jesus says here, if a man will save his life, he must lose it. We've got to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We've firstly got to repent of our sins. We've got to trust him for heaven. We don't get to heaven by going to church. Now, I'm glad you all go to church, but that won't get you to heaven. What will get you to heaven, and you can have salvation tonight if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus, if you ask Him to forgive you of your sins, if you believe upon Him, He will save you. Jesus said, "All that come to me, I will not cast out." And that's wonderful, isn't it? That He receives sinners. He's the friend of sinners. You know, there are not many people in this world you can trust. Wouldn't you agree? There are so many people that are dishonest. When you go on the internet, you don't know who's spying on you. You don't know who to trust. You can't give sensitive details to anybody. You don't know who to trust. You talk to somebody on the street, you don't know if you can trust them. There are not many people you can trust. But who do we need to trust with our souls? You see, we not only have a body, but we are a soul. You are more than just flesh and bones. You have a living soul. And the only person that can save our souls is Jesus Christ. But we can trust Him because He's worthy, because He's come from heaven. Jesus Christ said, "I've come from heaven to do my Father's will. And my Father's will is that I should lay down my life for my sheep." We can trust Him because He's from heaven. We can trust Him because Jesus Christ never sinned. We can trust Him because He dies for sinners. There's no other name, the Bible says, under heaven, given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. We can trust Him. So the common sense thing to do is to do what? Is to follow Him, to deny ourselves. Look what He says. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Firstly, your soul is far more valuable than all the money, all the wealth, all the pleasure that this world can offer, because it's only for a short period of time. But eternity is forever. And heaven is a much better place than here. And by far, hell is an awful place. The absence of God's grace and His goodness, everything that is good, will be taken away from you in hell. Anything good will be taken away from you in hell. It will be the absence of everything good. You will become more loathsome to your friends. It will be a place of unspeakable discomfort. The Bible uses imagery like fire, anguish, pain, torment of conscience. The Bible speaks about weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. Our conscience will trouble us. Why did I never trust the Lord Jesus? Why did I want to just live my own way in this world? Why didn't I seek forgiveness of God? Why didn't I want to live a godly life? Well, because I wanted my sin. But now I'm separated from all that's good. My believing parents are no more with me. My saved friends are not with me. There's no hope. There's no get out of hell. There's no way out. Look, I didn't put these words here. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is separation. Gentle Jesus said, "You will go into everlasting fire, everlasting damnation." Losing our lives means gaining another. Look what He says. If we lose our life, we will gain it. You know, when you become a Christian, you realize what you thought was a loss is now actually a gain. I would never, ever want to go back to not being a Christian. If somebody was to come and give me 100 billion pounds tonight, I would say no thank you. You couldn't give me all the money in the world in exchange of following Jesus Christ. It's a joy to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a joy to know peace in my heart. Yes, as a Christian, sometimes it's difficult. Yes, it's hard. But I'll tell you one thing. I thank God I know my sins are forgiven. I thank God I know where I'm going, that I won't be judged for my sin. But I do fear those who aren't saved. When you're young, and I remember being your age, a lot of questions going through your mind. I want to do this, I want to do that. But you know, when you become a Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ gives you guidance in your life, He gives you peace, He gives you understanding, He gives you contentment, He gives you all of those things. Jesus said, "My peace I leave you, my peace I give you." He was speaking there to Christians. Being a Christian is a wonderful thing. And at the end of this life, we know this. Jesus said, "Because I live, you shall also live." At the end of this passage here that we read, Jesus Christ spoke, look, we read there verse 9, chapter 17. We'll close with this. "And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, 'Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead.'" If you ever doubt about the resurrection and eternal life, look no further than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that there are many, many, many eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ being risen from the dead. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Because I live, ye also shall live." Jesus is now in heaven and he is preparing a place for them that follow him. As I close, I ask the question, as Jesus asks, "What does it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul?" Now, I don't know if we'll meet again in September, who knows? But something may happen to you in that time being. I pray and I hope nothing happens to you. But what happens if you do die? Where will you go? Think seriously about the things that I've said. I say them because I love young people and I love to tell people the truth. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your trust in Him. Ask Him to forgive you and He will give you eternal life. Lose your life to gain a much better life. It's the life that is in Jesus Christ, eternal life. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do give thanks for the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is so true and so faithful to us, so as to tell us to lose our life to gain eternal life, to take up our cross, to deny ourselves, to follow Him, to never be ashamed of following Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, pray particularly here for the young people, that they may think about these things and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We ask in His name. Amen.